What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Coasting downhill toward the weekend. It's always a little crazy coming out of these playoff football weekends. It takes me a couple of days to catch up, and that's been the case here. And then last night, we fell into a Mike Tomlin rabbit hole. So I was on the lookout for reaction to Mike Tomlin because he did his exit interview on Tuesday, and we weren't the only show, I'm sure, talking about Tomlin and the Steelers and their future and how it should look. And so I came across Patrick Peterson, former NFL All-Pro, who does some work on Sirius XM NFL Radio. And he was asked about Mike Tomlin and what needs to change there in Pittsburgh.
In my opinion, you have to get out of the old Pittsburgh way of really relying on your defense. Yes, we know the defense is a strong suit of the team, but they also, at the same point, they can't be out there for 35, 40 minutes a game. You know, it's just going to wear and tear on them. And we saw that in the latter part of the year when the offense wasn't able to move the football and the defense was out there the majority of the game. They was getting, you know, handled, you know. So I think that those are things, if they're able to address that, because Coach Tomlin is a great coach. You know, he knows how to coach his players. He knows how to, you know, get the guys ready and understand the game plan. Now I just feel like he just needs a steady quarterback that can really, in a different offense, that can really help him, you know, start to get these playoff wins and get this bad taste out of his mouth.
And he mentioned the 6 to 7 years, or it's been 6 years of consecutive playoff losses, or six losses in a row. And so he ended up his career in Pittsburgh, which gives him some insight into Mike Tomlin. But obviously, as a guy who was perennially an All-Pro and a Pro Bowler in his career at corner, and he went back and forth. He played both sides. He spent some time in Minnesota, but most of his career was in Arizona. He's familiar, and I appreciated his insight. Tomlin's a great coach, and listing some of the ways that Mike Tomlin really does make a difference. He can get the most out of his players, but here's what you got to do. You can't be relying on the defense all the time. And I think that brings us back to what we talked about on last night's show and what I've said consistently about the Pittsburgh Steelers. It is actually impressive that they've been able to make the postseason, that they've been able to get double-figure wins, that they haven't had a losing season under Tomlin, even without a quarterback. And again, compare them. I know I'm reiterating some of what I said last night, but compare them to other teams who are stuck in QB purgatory right now. The Denver Broncos hadn't made the playoffs in 9 years. Finally, with a strong coach in place who's good with QBs and Bo Nix, they were able to get back to a winning record in 10 victories and make the postseason. But it still took them until the very last week of the regular season to clinch that spot. They've been stuck in a revolving door of QBs since Peyton Manning retired. Okay, so that's one example. The Las Vegas Raiders, Derek Carr. Derek Carr was the last dude who could do anything with that position in a Raiders uniform. And so for them, they've gone through now multiple coaches, a couple of them have been fired in season. Their beginning of the tenure in Vegas has been an unmitigated disaster, in large part because they do not have a quarterback. Now, they have not had great leadership. They haven't hired the right people, but they also haven't had a quarterback since they decided to bench Derek Carr and pretend like he agreed that it was better for him to be away from the team. This is Josh McDaniels doing, so that he wouldn't be a distraction. That was BS at the time. And while I don't believe in karma, I think sometimes you reap what you sow, right? You treat other people the way you want to be treated. Well, they did not treat Derek Carr well, and now they're reaping the benefits. So that's another team that hasn't had a quarterback. 4 wins this season, and the last 2 years they fired coaches in season. I guess Antonio Pierce was fired when the season was done. They fired multiple coaches here, and some of these guys have been gone before the season was done. The Titans. I mean, they had Ryan Tannehill not that long ago, but for a while now, it's kind of been a revolving door. For the last, what, two seasons plus? The Colts. They've knocked on the door of winning seasons and playoffs, but they're stuck too since Andrew Luck retired. I know he didn't do them any favors, but they've not found the right fit. They've tried a bunch of different people. Phillip Rivers, Matt Ryan, Joe Flacco this year, another veteran who started a bunch of games for them. Anthony Richardson, they're still hoping that he's the right fit. Gardner Minshew. So they've been close to finding some consistency, but not the way that Mike Tomlin has had in Pittsburgh. These are all examples. The Panthers, another example. The Bears, another example. The Falcons, another example. Teams that have gone around and around and around when it comes to quarterbacks. So I don't think that it's common. I don't think that it's just accepted that it's easy to make, well, it's not easy to make the NFL playoffs. And if you don't have a quarterback, it becomes infinitely harder. You don't have a steady hand at quarterback. Cleveland, though I know they made the playoffs last year thanks to their amazing defense and Joe Flacco and Kevin Stefanski. But it shouldn't be poo-pooed that Pittsburgh is still in the playoffs even without a quarterback. In the last couple years of Ben Roethlisberger, they were rough. So that, to me, is a feather in the cap of Mike Tomlin, or if you don't want to put it that way, that, to me, is like a highlight of his resume, not a negative, because how do you challenge for a Super Bowl anyway without a quarterback? So the fact that they keep turning their QB room over and they're still making the playoffs and still having winning records, that's amazing. Ask the Panthers if they'd like that. Ask the Saints how they'd feel since Drew Brees retired, if they could have winning seasons. Ask the any of the teams we talked about, the Bears, the Commanders, for heaven's sakes, how great it is for them to finally have a quarterback that they feel like is the guy for now and for the future. They've also been stuck in that QB purgatory and had the one division title in 2020, but otherwise hadn't won a playoff game in nearly 20 years. So maybe, just maybe, don't scoff at what Tomlin's been able to do in Pittsburgh without having a solid option at QB and constantly changing at that position. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. You can find me online at A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. We'll do some QB news coming up inside of the next 30 minutes. So following the update at the bottom of, at the bottom of the hour, we'll get to that. But in light of some of the coaching questions and challenges, so Mike Tomlin's not available. The Steelers know they've got a good thing. Sorry, Steelers fans who believe that he's not the man for the job. Certainly, he can make changes, and there are some positive steps. I think he's said that, too. We've got to fix some of these things, but he's not getting replaced in Pittsburgh. And for the teams that would love to have Mike Tomlin, he's not available. What about Mike McCarthy? So this is an interesting one. Rich Gannon was weighing in, also on SiriusXM NFL Radio, longtime NFL QB, about what might happen with McCarthy now.
Keep an eye on the New Orleans Saints. Mickey Loomis and Mike McCarthy have a good relationship. Mike was the offensive coordinator there and really helped to kind of get that thing turned around before Sean Payton came in there and Drew Brees and went on that great run. But, you know, I think when you're looking at somebody, and even the Bears situation, you know, you're looking at somebody who has a track record of helping to develop that position. And everywhere Mike has been, in Kansas City with me and some other quarterbacks, you know, in San Francisco, in New Orleans, he did some really good things with Jeff Blake and some other quarterbacks that he had down there in New Orleans, in Green Bay with Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers, in Dallas with Dak Prescott. He's an authority on that position. He could write books. He's phenomenal, and he's a really good play caller. And wouldn't be surprised to see him wind up in either place. But you know, at some point, Bruce, it just, you know, as a head coach, you have a responsibility to your coaching staff, and you just got the sense that the fact that even though the team finished strong, there was you know, Jerry wants to do his own thing. And I think Mike maybe got fatigued with the situation in Dallas and was looking for an opportunity to go somewhere else.
It does seem like a common theme that people believe Mike McCarthy, A, wanted more job security or a longer contract than what Jerry Jones was willing to give. B, he wanted more money. He was paid about middle of the road when it comes to NFL coaches, despite his track record, and also despite the fact that the Cowboys are worth more money than any other franchise in the NFL and one of the most lucrative and revenue-rich franchises in all of sports, and the fact that you have someone breathing down your neck, micromanaging all the time. There are plenty of other general managers in the NFL that work closely with their coaches, but don't micromanage. Don't usurp their coaches, right? Don't answer questions every single week about their coaches. I mean, that to me gets old. And as Mike McCarthy has told us, he's a damn good football coach. He's a winning football coach. I think maybe, just maybe, he wanted to try something different. A little bit of a fresh perspective, just out from underneath the, I don't want to call him an ogre, because I don't think Jerry Jones is as bad as what a lot of Cowboys fans would point to. He does get credit, right, for building some of these teams that have won double-digit games and division titles in the last few years. But he obviously dropped the ball this past season, and to have your coach on an expiring contract means the questions are going to happen every week. And there he was answering them every week, not just post game, because he always would address the media scrumble post game, but also every single Tuesday on his radio show. Your
Arbitrage around our neck.
Yeah. You're upstaging your coach and also making it harder for him to do his job. How about let him do his job? You hired him to do his job and also pay him commensurate with the position and with the pressure and all of the responsibilities that he is juggling. So I do think that Jerry Jones can be part of the solution, and his team makes a lot of money and they're very high profile. But if what you want is to win, then hire the people and get the heck out of the way. You don't need to be the star. He doesn't need to be the star, which is kind of funny considering that their facilities are called the Star. 855-212-4227. Let's see. Bill Belichick on McCarthy leaving the Cowboys.
Mike's done a great job, as he always has. And, you know, his team's played hard, played competitively all the way through. So I'm sure that there'll be, you know, interest from other organizations in talking to him. But anytime a situation ends like that, as a coach, you know, you're always disappointed and always try to help the people that were there with you that may not have, you know, the opportunities that you might have going forward as a head coach. But that's the profession we're in, and you know, I'm sure that they'll all move on. But for the Cowboys, they'll have to, you know, decide what kind of direction they want to go in, and I'm sure that they'll, you know, do what they feel is best for the organization.
On SiriusXM NFL Radio, let's go. Now, the conversation about coaching continued. I don't even need to set this up. This is his partner, Jim Gray.
I know you're going to have some reluctance in this, but how are all of these people just not knocking down to get the greatest coach in the history of the game, the greatest winner in the history of the game, and they don't even want to talk to him? They don't even get a signal or a message to you? It's inexplicable. How do you internalize this?
Yeah, well, Jim, I'm not worried about what anybody else is or isn't doing. I'm focused on Carolina and Tar Heels and making the 25 team there in Carolina as good as we can make it, and build the program to a high level and you know, compete in the ACC. So I can't worry about what everybody else is or isn't doing.
That sounded like an answer pre-Instagram. That's an old snap face answer.
Can't teach an old dog new tricks, right?
Yeah, at what point does he go back and he no longer answers questions with any type of authenticity or openness or candor?
It's coming.
It is coming.
Hello, everyone.
He's dialing back in.
Surprised to see me here?
Yeah, I am too. Something else that is happening on a fairly regular basis now is that the hires that UNC is making on this coaching staff and in the athletic department, they're making headlines. So if you hadn't seen the latest, Belichick continues to pull from the NFL for his staff. So here we go. Longtime NFL special teams coach Mike Pfeiffer and veteran SEC offensive line coach Will Friend are joining Belichick's staff. He has a reputation that precedes him, obviously. And this is a guy who can have his pick of the litter. Who is going to say no when Bill Belichick calls? Who's going to say no? Unless he happens to be a head coach somewhere and really isn't ready to give that up. Who the heck doesn't want to be part of an historic UNC staff under Bill Belichick? No one. And so you've got a guy in Pfeiffer who moved to the NFL in 2002. So he was in college, moved to the NFL in 2002. He's been a special teams coordinator. He's been a special teams head coach. He's a guy who has an extensive resume, and now he's going to UNC. UNC! This is not Notre Dame. It's not Ohio State. This is not Alabama, where Bill Belichick is setting up shop. It is UNC. Chapel Hill, a basketball school. And he's going to turn that puppy into must-see TV and a powerhouse without the, how do I want to say this? Without the circus that is around Colorado.
If you put yourself in Bill Belichick's shoes for a second, mm-hmm. I'm going to give you a scenario.
Okay.
The Raiders call.
Yeah.
And offer you $20 million a year for three seasons to go be the coach of the Raiders. After that deadline, are you taking the job?
The deadline where he can get out of the contract?
Where he can get out for cheaper.
Meaning he spends 2 years at UNC and then the Raiders call?
No.
Or you mean right now? Who's calling you at 4:17 a.m. local time?
No, it's an alarm for one of the reads that are coming up.
Oh, he sets himself alarms on his phone. Actually, my husband does that too. He puts reminders on his phone and they ding every couple hours during the day so he remembers to do things. I have a list, but I don't have actual timed reminders.
Some are
so
timed.
You need to remind me to do something?
Yeah.
I got you.
It's really to remind.
DraftKings.
Uh-huh. Really to remind.
Remind me to remind you.
Yes.
You mean coach the 2 years at UNC and then get out?
No, I mean now.
But I thought he had to coach a couple years first. I thought that was a 5-year deal, and the first 2 years, then he had an out.
No, he can get out. He can get out now if he wanted to. It's $10 million, but he can get out now. But
well, then what's the 2-year thing? Then he can walk away without fulfilling the rest of the contract, and there's no buyout?
I believe it's that. The impression I got was that he is able to get out of this contract now.
Okay.
If he wants to.
Bill Belichick. UNC contract. Let's just make sure. Yes, a 5-year deal with a $10 million buyout if he leaves before June 1st, 2025. After June 1st, the buyout drops to $1 million, though.
Right. That's the whole thing.
Only the first 3 years are guaranteed. The contract is worth $10 million a year, but only the first 3 years are guaranteed. He receives bonuses based on the team's performance. Oh, would you like to know what else he receives? Here we go. A courtesy car, a membership to Chapel Hill Country Club, and expense allowance. What? I mean, that could add up to another mill or so.
That's actually not bad.
No, it's terrific. I like that. And I hope he has a suite for his girlfriend as well. You know what's really funny? He's so not active on social media until lately, but it's not ever been a part of his life. It was more about his media persona. She is nonstop on. I don't follow her, but people, they'll quote tweeter, or they'll show some of her stuff on Insta. She is like his staunchest defender. She's constantly clapping back at people who are making snarky comments or are sarcastic remarks about the relationship. The New Year's Eve one was the one where our third New Year's Eve, our third year kissing on, you know, at midnight or something like that. I can't wait to defend you in the new year or something. I mean, she maybe it's admiration. Maybe it's like a hero worship type of thing that can happen in relationships, but she adores that man.
That's a good thing to have in life.
It is. I mean, I was always told you're supposed to marry your hero.
Yeah, good for them. I'm very happy for them. I think that's a great thing.
But
for
what
them.
Is it like when she brings them home to her parents? Oh, that's all I'm saying.
That's a whole nother dynamic. It's a whole other conversation.
At A-Law Radio, we're not talking about that anymore. I just think it's amazing that she is head over heels, like on his side, in his camp, and he just lets her. I mean, he's not going to tell her not to be her. It'd be different if it was like some cranky old man who tried to control her, because that sometimes can happen too. Nah, he takes selfies with her. He just lets her do what she wants to do.
Time to enjoy life. That's it.
Yeah. And I think it's pretty neat, actually, their dynamic. Although, I think it's a little bit odd to think about bringing this man home to your parents.
That's totally different. That's a totally different dynamic. I know.
But could you imagine if it was your daughter?
Oh, yeah. there'd be a lot of conversations before
right?
that actual
right?
visit.
I wonder if her family tried to talk her out of it, or if they're big football fans, so they're like, all right, it's okay.
It's probably not a talk out of it. It's probably more of a really type conversation.
Yeah, like make sure it's real, right. And it's not just the I admire this guy.
Be careful type thing.
Okay, I got you. All right, so the reminder told us we have something to do here. We'll get to your calls next, 855-212-4227. We've got QB news at the back of the hour. A little bit of salt to get ready for divisional weekend, but also a couple of the teams that have already exited the playoffs. Good morning. It's Thursday. Don't ask me why we started talking about Belichick and his girlfriend.
In the history of football, I've never really played against another quarterback. I've played against their defense, and just taking it one day at a time, trying to have a good week of practice, and then controlling what I can control. And it's attitude and effort, and it's how we come out here and just try to put our best foot forward and try to execute on Sunday.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I love that snarky, non-snarky cut from Josh Allen. Just a taste of QB news coming up at the bottom of the hour following the update. In the history of football, I've never actually played against the other team's quarterback. I don't know. It might be an interesting grudge match or cage match between Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, because one of them has all the brute strength. The other one has more speed. Just kind of depends on which strategies they employ. Either way, that's not what's happening. But I love that because I get so annoyed. You want to annoy me to no end? Here's how you do it. Talk about how playoff games are a battle between quarterbacks. As if the other 100 players on the field don't matter, and as if these two guys are out there on the field just by themselves, facing each other, right? They're never on the field at the same time. And if they are, it's because one just threw a pick and the other one's coming on the field to assume the offense and to assume the ball. It's way more complex than that. It's not just about two quarterbacks. So Lamar Jackson hasn't beaten Josh Allen this regular season, and Josh Allen didn't beat Lamar Jackson the last time they faced off in the postseason. That hot take, that synopsis of playoff football drives me bonkers. All right? I feel better now. I got it off my chest. Jeremy is in Erie, Pennsylvania. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, I'm not going to keep you because I'm plowing snow like always up here.
Okay.
I just have a quick question if you want to just, elaborate. I don't hear anyone talking about Aaron Rodgers, a Viking. I think that, that might be a thing. But I'm going to let you talk and get back to plowing. Thank you.
Oh, be careful, Jeremy. Good to talk to you in Erie, Pennsylvania with the lake effect snow. My gosh, one of the worst whiteout conditions that I ever got stuck in was up there in Erie as I came across 90. So it was across the thruway in New York and then went south on 79. And it was in that corner that I hit this lake effect snowstorm. It was a squall and it had already snowed there. So it was already a snowy area, but there were whiteout conditions. I couldn't see. My car did a 360. Thank God there were no other vehicles until all of a sudden. Now, this is after my car did a 360, but was still ended up pointed the right direction down the highway. It was not a car that had four-wheel drive. This is back when I was poor and I had a Plymouth Reliant. Anyway, not long after that, out of the snowstorm, the squall, these whiteout conditions, comes this enormous semi. He is hauling ass, and I'm like, what is he doing? Nah, he had 18 wheels, so he didn't care. He was just booking up the road. Didn't matter if he couldn't see or whatever the speed limit was. The road was snow-covered. Uh-uh. I just moved over and tried to get out of his way. I was inching along at this point. So, yeah, there's some pretty gnarly snowstorms up there. Though, I do love snow, but I want you to be safe. I would say it's actually funny. It would be funny. It's even funny to talk about, considering how Brett Favre finished his career. Wouldn't that be hysterical? All these years that Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre linked, and now for him to end his career going to the Jets and then the Vikings, I would vote for that. I think it would be amazing. But they're going to J.J. McCarthy. Unless there's some setback with his recovery. Is it a knee injury? Don't quote me on that. But if there's some setback in his recovery, I could see maybe they bring back Sam Darnold. Otherwise, unless Sam's willing to be a backup, J.J. McCarthy is the plan. He's the plan from this point forward. They didn't use a number 12, I think it was 12, draft pick on him, or maybe it's 11, in order for him to sit there. So, no, they're not bringing in an Aaron Rodgers who won't want to sit there and will expect to be starting. And that's the thing, Pete. I don't know where you look around the NFL. I know there are teams that need quarterbacks. What if the Raiders, you just asked me a what-if question about the Raiders. What if the Raiders called and offered him a gig and, I don't know. I just am throwing names out there. He's not going to sign up to be a backup. There's no way. That is not the end he wants to his Hall of Fame career. It's already been bad enough the last 2 years. He does not want that.
I think he's retiring.
Do you?
Yes.
All right.
I think it's kind of, I the way he was talking at the end of the season, it sounded very much like, that's it. It's over. But because he...
Miami?
Yeah,
no, yeah. They just paid Tua.
Because I feel like he'd be a little
the Browns?
No. You talk about ends of careers. Yeah, he doesn't want... I just think that there's... He would have had more fight.
The Titans?
No.
You just putting the kibosh on all of it?
Yeah, I don't think it's... I don't think there's a solution.
The Giants.
No way.
Just kidding. They're going to draft a QB.
Yeah.
The Saints. What if Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers reunited in New Orleans?
It won't be with the Jets. I don't think McCarthy's going there. So, yeah. The way he was, unless there's a scenario, like, I don't know. Minnesota is interesting. It is, because if they get him, maybe it's cheaper than... If it's in a trade.
You assume he's going to want to be a backup?
No, I
don't think his ego will allow that.
I don't see this happening, because I feel like he would have been more defiant when he was talking at the end of the year. I feel like he was more resolved to the fact resolved to the fact that he is going to retire. I think he's going to retire.
Have we heard from him since the season ended?
No.
We haven't. He's probably in the darkness. Yeah, he's getting acclimated to the darkness again.
Yeah, somewhere where he's not talking to anybody.
Interesting. All right, coming up, QB news. We don't have any about Aaron Rodgers, but I do think that's a fun idea. Make it happen. Just let's make it happen. Although I don't want to see J.J. McCarthy's career get stunted anymore. But yes, QB news coming up with more from Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson. Ooh, how about Jaden Daniels to whet your appetite? C.J. Stroud, Jalen Hurts. We got them all, even Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams is busy doing podcasts right now. He's everywhere. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
All right, Amy, the marquee matchup of the weekend takes place in Buffalo with the Bills playing host to the Ravens. But Lamar Jackson not about to buy all that outside hype.
Excuse me for everyone watching, but I really don't care who's watching. And to me, like, the players, us players, we just trying to win. We really don't care, like, how people feel about it. We trying to go in there and just win. You know, that's a tough environment, tough team, offense, defense, special team. We just trying to go there and win.
Flip side, Josh Allen's well aware of how difficult this task is going to be despite holding the home field advantage.
Their defense the last really eight to 10 weeks has been superb. Their offense is... fantastic as well. They got a lot of studs over there, led by Lamar, obviously, and it's a tough team to play regardless.
Checking the NBA, where no Karl Anthony Towns for the Knicks in a game they led by as many as 16 and ever trailed, but still found themselves in overtime with a Sixers team who was minus Joel Embiid before the Knicks finally took over.
So Philly will inbound front court left side. Knicks lead by 9. Maxey looking. Finds Yabusele in the high post. Picks up his dribble. Hart knocks it away from behind. Spins away with the steal. A 2-on-1. Hart lobs. Bridges slams it down with a minute to go.
23 for Mikal Bridges. Josh Hart a triple-double. Jalen Brunson led the way with 38. Knicks outlast the Sixers 125-119 in overtime. Call courtesy of the Knicks Radio Network. Rest of your scores. Warriors held off the T-Wolves 116-115. Steph Curry at 31. Lakers knocked off the Heat 117-108. Bucks ripped the Magic 122-93 as Damian Lillard put in 30. Raptors disposed of the Celtics 110-97. Hawks lit up the Bulls 110-94. Pelicans handled the Mavericks 119-116. DeJounte Murray with 30. Rockets buried the Nuggets 128-108. Clippers just thumped the Nets 126-67. Grizzlies too much for the Spurs 129-115. And the Hornets took out the Jazz 117-112. College Hoops second-ranked Iowa State overwhelmed number 9 Kansas 74-57. Curtis Jones with 25. Michigan State top Penn State 90-85. Tennessee overpowered Georgia 74-56. Houston erased West Virginia 70-54. Purdue bounced Washington 69-58. And UNLV surprised Utah State 65-62. I'm Marco Belletti.
Gunning it long. Coming down the near side. The pass is caught. Touchdown! Kansas City!
Three steps. Throwing. Lob. Left corner of the end zone. Touchdown!
Play action. Love. Looking. Winds up. There Rainbows. Watson there. Touchdown!
Yes!
And a Lambeau leap.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
The show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. Well, you heard a snippet of Josh Allen a few minutes ago, if you were listening, about he doesn't play versus Lamar Jackson. It's not Josh Allen versus Lamar. However, a lot is made of the fact that the Ravens beat the Bills rather handily in the earlier portion of the season. But Josh says they're a different team, and he's a different guy since then.
I feel like we've grown quite a bit since that game. I obviously learned a lot from those moments. Going back and watching it obviously wasn't our best effort. You know, felt like we didn't play our best football. But again, they got a really good team too. That they're playing this week for a reason.
The two teams that ran for the most yards in the wild card weekend, the Ravens with 299, the Bills with 210 on the ground, and yet these are the two quarterbacks that are expected to be the finalists for the NFL MVP. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? So Lamar Jackson, he's like Josh. He's not going to buy into all the hype. He's at least going to apologize for it, but he's staying even keel.
When we older, we'll probably laugh about it, but right now it's serious. I ain't laughing with you. I feel like our guys just locked in and playoff atmosphere is pretty much serious around the building. Our guys haven't been, we've been joking, but like not that much. You know, guys just locked in because, like I said, a lot of us was here last year, and we know like what's at stake for us.
I think with Lamar, him saying a couple weeks ago that maybe he was a little bit too hyped up in the playoffs and that might have led to some of the poorer performances, that's a big deal. That shows maturity. And so for him to stay even keel is the thing, regardless of who's on the other sideline.
Excuse me for everyone watching, but I really don't care who's watching. And like, no, to me, like the players, us players, we just trying to win. We really don't care like how people feel about it. We trying to go in there and just win. You know, that's a tough environment, tough team, offense, defense, special team. We just trying to go there and win.
If you missed my conversation with Hall of Fame running back Thurman Thomas in Buffalo, we'll replay it next hour because he's terrific and he's all excited about this game. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. All right, staying on the AFC side, we know Patrick Mahomes and his wife have a brand new baby girl. We'll maybe hear from him about the game a little bit later in the week. But C.J. Stroud and the Texans have the chance to become the first team in their franchise history to reach the AFC Championship game with a victory at Arrowhead.
I think that'll be a huge accomplishment. And, you know, this team are really motivated to, you know, go up there and play some good ball. And, you know, a great Kansas City team who's been in these moments forever. So, you know, it's going to take all of us. It's going to take a lot of, you know, execution and, you know, get that done. So, got to be on our A-game.
And again, the obligatory questions about quarterback versus quarterback, which I can't stand. But C.J. Stroud knows that it's a Super Bowl champion and a guy that he's been watching for a long time in the other uniform.
It's moments you dream of. You know, you watch them growing up and dreaming of the moments to be sharing that field or be competing in those moments. So, you know, I'm very excited and, you know, ready to roll. But, you know, got to have a good week of preparation. But, yeah, definitely excited for it.
I'm excited for it, too. Divisional weekend is my favorite of all of the football weekends on the schedule. Now, if we are talking about AFC, you know, there's a couple of teams that lost last week that feel like they've got answers to their quarterback questions. With Jim Harbaugh and Justin Herbert, what did he say? It's like angels singing when the guy returns to practice. He's the best quarterback in the NFL. Harbaugh's raved about him. But he's coming off a performance in which he threw four interceptions. So, Jim, meeting the media in his exit interview on Wednesday, talking about Justin.
We did him a disservice and didn't put him in the positions to be successful enough. But he played like a beast. I mean, there's nobody, and that was your question, how do I think he played? Yeah, after watching the tape, you know, I second that, double down on that. On that statement, there's nobody in this entire organization who gives more blood, sweat, and tears and contributes more, produces more for the entire organization than Justin Herbert.
Can't ask for higher praise or more validation than that from Jim Harbaugh. So he doesn't agree with you that Justin is overrated. In that same division, the Broncos also exiting wild card weekend, and that wrapped up the rookie campaign for Bo Nix, but Sean Payton loves what he saw from him in year one.
There are a lot of things to be encouraged about. I had a good visit with him yesterday. You know, his movement skills, some of the things maybe that we didn't even see or forecast coming. His decision making, he's extremely accurate. I've said this before, he's hard to sack. And that's a good trait to have in our league. And then there are things that, you know, he's going to look at and grow from and build on, whether it's third down snaps, whether it's pressure snaps. But I'm real encouraged and, you know, I'm glad that he's with us and that, it worked out the way it did. I know this, you know, he's very conscientious.
He comes in,
he spends a lot of time here. He was here in my office for half an hour yesterday. Yeah, I think it's all in front of him. And I've said this before, I think
we found Pete, how long is this cut?
You know, that player that can lead us and be what we need relative to having the success we're used to having. I think we found it.
Wowzers. Okay, so I don't have much to say beyond that, except that the Raiders better get their act together because the other three teams in the AFC West, they're on it. Turning our attention to the NFC, rookie quarterback Jaden Daniels still unflappable.
It's just another game to me.
No, it's not.
Obviously, everybody puts the implications and, you know, makes it bigger than what it really is. But at the end of the day, it's still the game. You got to go out there and stick to your routine, stick to who you are, the process of what got you there. And go out there and just play football. And then to the guys, you know, we're just taking it day by day. Be what our feet are and, you know, we'll handle business when the time to come.
Okay, but can you get a little excited, little enthusiasm about returning to the site of realizing your dream with the draft?
I mean, it's awesome. Just you know, somewhere where my dreams became reality. And now to go back and play a playoff game there against a very good team, you know, it's just nothing but a blessing.
All right. Shorter cuts. That's right. Succinct, Sean Payton. Jalen Hurts looking ahead to the Los Angeles Rams in their game on Sunday.
This is a young team led by a great coach, great quarterback, great players all around. They got a great defense. They've been very disruptive up front. Just got to come and execute. I think it starts in the trenches in a game like this, and we've been able to run the ball effectively. And so, you know, hopefully we continue to oppose our will up front.
Oh, yeah, I think so. They had, what, 169 rushing yards? The Rams, they ran the ball a little bit, but that wasn't their area of expertise in this game. They do have Kyren Williams, who is always terrific, it seems like, when he's healthy. But if the Eagles can play that ball control game, it means the Rams have got a sense of urgency on every single offensive possession. What about that 9-sack performance, though, by the Rams against the Vikings?
You don't think about that. You try and think about what you can control. You're keeping the main thing, going, trying to be the best we can be and control what we can. So
be where your feet are. Be where your feet are. Something along those lines. Although, if your feet get off the ground because you're getting sacked, well, how do you respond to that? Caleb Williams no longer in season, so now he can do more podcasts. This is the St. Brown podcast with Amon-Ra St. Brown, and he was asked about what he's looking for, what he wants in the Bears' next head coach.
Strong-minded. A leader of men. I think that's a cool thing about what y'all got over there in Detroit.
Do you feel like your coach, you want your coach to be like offensive minded, or you want him big picture?
I want him.
Then have the coordinators.
Like selfishly, I want an offensive minded guy, so I can build with him and, you know, be with that coach for the next 19, mm-hmm. 17, 15 mm-hmm. years.
Whoa.
And so I can also learn and grow and, you know, things like that from him and what he's seen and what he's gone through with, you know, maybe other QBs or been around. So that's selfishly.
Oh, it's selfishly. Okay, that's where it ended. All right. I think that's interesting that now you've got players talking to other players about what they want in their next head coach. He said strong-minded. Mike McCarthy completed his interview with the Bears on Wednesday. And I'm trying to think, who else did they? Oh, Arthur Smith. They also interviewed Arthur Smith, who is currently the OC of the Steelers. I don't know. That doesn't seem like a good fit with him. Now, we know Arthur Smith was the head coach in Atlanta and didn't really have a quarterback there. With Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, there are times where it showed some promise, but there are also a lot of times where it was stale and they were settling for field goals over and over. Not a lot of great downfield stuff, not a lot of explosion in the passing game. So I'm not sure that that's what Caleb Williams wants, but I could see Mike McCarthy there.
Ben Johnson.
Sure, Ben Johnson too. He's all the rage, so he'll get multiple offers. Interesting stuff as the coaching carousel spins. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.